I can hear you. I can see you. Well, I can't see you. I can see that I'm recording you.
I was going to say, surely you can't see me.
I can
that
see,
would be very creepy.
I can see that I'm recording you. Episode 18.
Boom.
We've hit.
Is it really 18? Fuck.
We've hit the. This pod, this season can go and get drunk at the pub now, Dave. It can have a beer.
In New Zealand it can, not in the US yet.
We're not in the US.
A few more to go for that.
This podcast hasn't reached the shores of the mighty United States of America yet. It has remained in the land of New Zealand. I don't think it's even hit England yet. It's mainly Australia, New Zealand, which has a drinking age of 18. So this podcast can go to the pub.
I mean, quite a lot of Europe has... even lower ages, right?
Oh, yeah, they're like 12 years old, aren't they?
I don't know of any that are specifically that young, but certainly like 15, 16 is a thing. And I think some even kind of don't have a drinking age. It's just kind of...
maybe that's what I'm thinking of with the 12-year-olds.
A looser arrangement.
It's like if you're with your mum, you can have a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that makes sense. Oh, shit, I've just turned my gain down too far. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you certainly got quiet for a moment.
I was a bit loud.
Which is fun.
I'm a bit loud this morning, but I think I just need to move my microphone away from my mouth. My gain knob on my little red box is super sensitive. Like, it's like you turn it to about, what am I, probably now 4 o'clock, and it's not enough. You turn it ever so slightly up, and you're massively loud. There's like a very specific place that it can be that it's loud enough. It's not like
that's weird.
Yeah, it's like a weird logarithmic thing. I'm sure all the listeners are happy to hear about the way that we record the podcast.
Well, I mean, our recording gear is getting more comprehensive over time.
It's pretty impressive now.
The
setup we got is pretty impressive. I mean, we've both got a little red box now.
Indeed.
We record over, we talk to each other over a voice call over the internet, and I record both my voice and your voice through that voice call, in case anything happens to your end of the recording. But then I use what I've recorded from you to line up the recording track that you send me after the recording. And so that's why the listeners hear a very perfect version of the podcast, because it's just us recording our microphones.
But you've it's very perfect, the right thing.
One thing you can say about this podcast is the audio quality is excellent.
I think there's definitely been a few where the audio quality's been quite poor, hasn't there? I'm sure we've fucked up some of these at some point.
There is one. Was it the first time I was in London, I didn't have a microphone with me. So that one was very much I record on my laptop mic.
That's right. Yeah.
But I think that was like a conscious decision. We went, no, we're gonna record anyway.
Yeah, because it was important just to do a record.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it's like that, you know?
Yeah.
And if at any point we manage to like completely fuck up recording one of these, I mean, I'm still going to want to count it. we still fucking watched the game and did it. I'm going to feel like it counts, even if it probably shouldn't.
Well, I guess if we watched it and we talked about the game, how do we prove that we did it? I mean, would people believe us? Would the listeners believe us if we said we did one? Would we just record it again? Would we just do the episode again? Don't watch a game, just record it again.
We could certainly try.
Because
I certainly wouldn't watch the game again.
No, I agree.
I would know I had already seen it.
Yeah.
Whether we would, record again or release some dog shit recording or who knows. I don't know.
Do you think the listeners would be interested in just half of the episode? Like, if I didn't get your recording, do you think they'd just listen to me talking to somebody who didn't exist for 60 minutes?
I mean, they have like a half of you reading the ingredients of water, so...
It's a different kind of half, isn't it, Dave? That was a bit of wordplay from you there. Very, very
it
good.
It was. So, you know, I think at this point, our listeners... probably to their own detriment, willing to listen to almost anything. I suspect someone probably would listen to that. It'd be painful, and I'm sure no one would consider it a proper episode. But, you know, one for the anoraks out there to have made sure they've completed the series, I guess.
I mean, does anybody want to complete the series? Like...
I think there's a lot of our listeners who are quite deep down this rabbit hole with us now as well.
Yeah,
which
that's a good
I
point.
Like
the the number of tweets this week that we've received about the start of the Moomba Festival this weekend has been it's kind of proven that you're right about everyone being on board with this ride with us.
Absolutely.
We received multiple messages from people saying, by the way, Moomba is this weekend.
Absolutely.
Which I'm very happy about. I don't know how you feel about it.
No, I'm ecstatic about it. I'm just trying to find the most recent one that I can't find, but it was about the meaning of the Moomba Festival name.
Here we go. I saw that one
as well.
I'm
not 100% sure where this is from. It says it's just a Melbourne wiki.
I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah, but it says, undoubtedly, the most unfortunate choice of a proper name from Aboriginal sources was made in Melbourne when the city fathers chose to name the city's annual festival Moomba. The name is supposed to mean let's get together and have fun.
That's what it says, but
that's what it's supposed to mean.
Yeah.
Though one wonders how anyone could be naive enough to believe that all this can be expressed in just two syllables. In fact, mum means buttocks or anus in various Victorian languages, and ba is a suffix that means at, in, or on. Presumably, someone has tried to render up your bum in the local vernacular.
The thing is that up your bum also can mean let's get together and have fun. So it's kind of like a double meaning there.
I like that they've tried to go with up your bum, but I think this was more likely if someone was trying to give an insult, it was stick it up your ass.
I mean, yeah.
Not up your bum. Like, that's not an insult.
That's a very like 8-year-old version
of
it.
Whereas like, Can you tell me the translation for this? And the response was, stick it up your ass.
Yeah.
That feels good.
The podcast is 18 now, Dave. We're allowed to say things like stick it up your ass rather than having to say the watered down playground version, which is up your bum, which I think children enjoy, but others potentially not so much. They want the actual stick it up your ass. But I think that they're not...
sorry, what now? Somehow you decided that children will be more into any part of that. I'm very concerned.
You know what I mean?
I really don't, but I don't want to explore that anymore. That sounded concerning.
Anyway, do we know who the kings and queens are this year of the Moomba Festival?
No. Well, I'm unsure whether they announced that in advance, do they?
Well, surely...
The Moomba Festival starts in a couple of days.
Moomba, here we go. They announced them 2 weeks ago.
Well, there you go.
And they have a photo shoot. It's the same photo shoot. New crowns, same throne.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's comedians Julia Morris and Nazim Hussain.
I've never heard of either of them.
No, so Morris is the host of Channel 10's I'm a Celebrity, Get Out of Here. And Nazim doesn't actually say in this article, I think we're just supposed to know who he is.
Okay, good. Well, I don't know who that is, but that's good.
Here we go. He says, I finally feel like quitting an office job has paid off. My mum can finally be proud. And he's gone hard on the king thing as well. He said, also, I'm really excited about being a monarch because apparently you can wear this crown around town and you get 20% off at restaurants, 10% off at clothing stores. So if anyone wants to borrow it. So he's gone hard on the old crowny thing there. But there's also, the photo shoot is here. And it is.
Yeah, I've loaded it up. You're right. This is definitely the same throne.
Same throne.
Quite a different style of crown they've gone with.
They've very much gone for court jesters style crown, haven't they?
Quite like a matching pair.
Do you think they've learned? They've put two comedians in who are known for being able to talk to large crowds. Do you think they learned their lesson when they initially cast Archie Thompson in the role of king and learned that he couldn't talk?
Well, I was going to say that, except that halfway down this article I'm looking at, it's got Archie. Related article. Yeah. Are you on the age?
No, I wasn't.
No. Oh, okay. Halfway down the age, it's related article. It's just a big old picture of Archie with his crown on, waving as part of a parade.
Well, that's a kid, elbow.
Oh, no, I've worked it out. What about this?
I'm trying to wave.
Then you can just twist the wrist like that. You don't have to shake the bit underneath.
Like that. That's them. Oh, the mariachi band. I'm watching the video. to see if it's anything as entertaining.
Launch of the Moomba Festival.
Moomba.
We have two of the funniest people in Australia to represent us as Moomba Monarchs this year. We are delighted to announce Julia Morris, who is one of the first ladies of comedy.
Okay, pause there. First ladies of comedy. Does that imply that there weren't ladies doing comedy before Julia Morris came along?
I mean, no. I think they're going for like First Lady White House
style. But she
said
one of the first ladies. There's only one first lady.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she's literally going and saying that she's one of the first lady comics, which categorically is not true.
Well, is there only one first lady? First up.
Opening a rabbit hole here. It's like how they call the old presidents Mr. President, isn't it?
Yes, it's exactly like that. That was exactly the thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is the first lady still the first lady? But separate to that, other countries also have a first lady.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Okay. We have a first fisherman in New Zealand, don't we? The rest of the video?
Yeah.
And we have Nazim Hussain, who we are delighted many years ago now gave up being a tax consultant to take on the world of comedy.
Why is she delighted to announce that now?
I don't know, but I'm really glad he gave up being a tax consultant.
Has paid off. My mum can finally be proud. She's over there. So, see? I've done something with my life.
Speaking of Moomba.
Also, I'm really excited about being a monarch because apparently...
Yeah, we've already heard this, but... does this mean that Archie Thompson is no longer the king?
Absolutely.
He's been seceded by Nazim.
Well, what year was he the king?
Last year.
Was it last year or the year before?
2019.
Okay, yeah. So he's definitely no longer the king. I do not think anyone still refers to him as the king. I don't think it's like presidents. I don't think anyone is still holding on to that. I think you're not the king, you're no longer the king.
Is he now a former monarch, Archie Thompson?
No. He's just back to being good old Archie. And I, for one, am pretty glad about that. He did a terrible interview after a post-match interview this week at the football, which... was just horrendous. It reminded me how bad he was.
I don't know if it's true or not, but he apparently was commentating a W League game and said the words, "This is the first W League game I've watched," which,
oh, wow.
Not a bowl
opener. I haven't seen that, but that is...
Not a good thing to say on the W League coverage when there are plenty of journalists, plenty of personalities who have seen multiple W League games who could do a better job.
I mean, it certainly confirms what we already knew, which is that he's not getting these jobs based on his skill at those jobs. Pretty sad.
He's the king. That's why he's getting jobs. He's coming along. He's saying, "I am the king," and people have to give him what he wants. He's basically abusing his power as a reigning monarch of Melbourne City, Australia, New South Wales, in that order.
Now, back to Moomba, because obviously. Neither of us want to talk about the game. I assume you watched the game. I watched the game.
It's been watched.
I don't want to talk about the football.
It's done. It's shit. Move on.
I wrote literally nothing about the football and plan to talk about it no more than we just have
now. Yeah, I was relying on the fact that we're going to talk about Moomba this whole episode, so I didn't write anything down as well.
I've got a couple things other than Moomba,
okay.
But I certainly have got some Moomba-related stuff. So,
Box Wars.
Yes, Box Wars. Yes. Good. I'm glad we're very much on the same page. This week, it's almost like we've got an agenda that is our Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so the Box Wars.
Yeah. They're back.
Right?
They're back, baby.
Remember them from the video.
Yeah.
Right? So there was the giant moon lander thing. There's the astronauts.
Yeah.
There's all of that going on, which I find fascinating to begin with.
It makes sense now.
No, it makes less sense to me now.
Why?
Way less sense, because previously I assumed this was some kind of like performance art group, right?
Oh,
they spent a large amount of time working on, like, those are quite detailed costumes they're wearing.
But they're just promo, because Box Wars hasn't actually happened by the time that video was taken, has it?
I assume it has.
Well, no, because it's the announcement of who's going to be king and queen. So Box Wars and that festival wouldn't have happened yet. That's not an entry in Box Wars.
Maybe, but either way, this new information this year, we've been sent the link to Box Wars on Saturday the 7th of March.
Yep.
on the palm lawn from 11:30 to 6:30.
Yeah.
All right. And the description here is build your very own cardboard costumes.
Yeah.
So none of that implies this is a competition. It doesn't say enter in our competition to build the best costume. It says just come down, gamble about with a box. Great. That sounds like an awesome time. Bring the kids down.
Yeah.
Cut a box, draw some shit on it, call it a costume. Sounds fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
But there's no way anyone's building a fucking moon lander. Where the fuck did that come from last year?
Well, I think...
No, it's not like you and me went down, there were a bunch of boxes, and we thought, you know what, let's build a moon lander into hyper-realistic astronaut costumes.
So
that didn't fucking happen. But I'm on board with you now that obviously the timing is a bit different.
Yeah.
So that must have been like, here is what you could build if you were like some kind of fucking genius with the cardboard that no one's ever going to achieve.
If... Maybe that was the one, but you said there's no winners, isn't it? Maybe that's the winner of the previous
maybe
year.
Maybe there is a competition.
Yeah.
Just nothing about this implies there's a competition, right? It just sounds like come down, have a good time, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, like the other things on this list are face painting.
I mean,
cool. That doesn't sound like a competition. That's just come down, do some face painting.
Yeah.
There's a dance zone. Fair enough.
That's a competition.
Is it?
Yeah.
It says learn samba and dance hall. Like, that's not a competition.
Well, the one that I've got here says learn samba, crump, and dance hall.
It does say crump, yes. Sorry. So, I'm skim reading.
Yeah.
But none of that implies a competition.
I would just like to point out that I've never heard it called crump. I've always heard it called crumping. It's very strange to see it written down as crump. And I always assumed it started with a C, but it starts with a K, apparently.
The K I'm used to. And I assume that crumping is the act of
doing the crump.
Doing it. Yeah, so I feel okay with that. Like,
have you ever crumped, Dave?
It's still called rap, but a person is rapping.
Okay,
right?
Yeah,
like, yeah.
So it's called samba, but you're samba-ing. It's called box wars, but you're box warring.
Potentially,
kids yoga and carnival. Whatever carnival means.
Well, I think carnival probably had some more words that are just cut off. What do you reckon the nylon zoo is?
It's a fun story time featuring dance and music.
Where's the nylon come in? Do you think it's like they're all little weird nylon costumes? Is it like story time crossed with like...
Have you seen the location where the nylon zoo is happening?
The teardrop lawn.
Which sounds fucking morbid.
I mean, it does if we're assuming this is a bad time. I'm thinking it's like a fun story time for kids. So it's probably just the shape of the lawn.
Dave, are you heading to Melbourne this weekend?
I am not heading to Melbourne this weekend.
That's a shame. We should have planned this in advance and done a remote record from the Moomba Festival. But you know what? So the person who's tweeted us, Timmy_10 on Twitter, has said the words, Moomba is this weekend. He kind of tipped us off to it. Box Wars is back. I'll report more on Saturday.
Which I'm very excited about.
Cannot wait for this report. I want to know if it's a competition. I want to know
I want to know everything.
If there's any moon landers, there's any like anybody doing like a professional, if there's a professional box maker kind of in the corner as like an exhibition type thing going on, I want to know what they're making. Because I think that's the only way I can explain the moon lander was that they went, you know what, we're going to make a moon lander this year. And they've kept it for a year and used it in the promo for the next year. But I want to know everything. So Timmy, when you hear this in 3 weeks' time, make sure that you've got all those details for me, please.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way you're going to hear this by the time you're there on Saturday.
I mean, I could just...
I expect a selfie of you wearing a costume you made out of boxes.
Yeah.
This description clearly says, build your very own cardboard costume. And I expect you to have done that.
If you go to Box Wars and you don't build a costume, have you really gone to Box Wars?
No, it sounds like you haven't.
Yeah. What else is on the...
That's Moomba, which I like.
Is it Moomba? Because I want to look at the rest of the program and work out my itinerary for the weekend. And Moomba is apparently a boat. So the problem with being over here in London is that Google shows me different results. So when I type in Moomba, it's just like, it's a boat. If I type in black caps, it literally shows me hats that are black. It's like, no, that's clearly not what I want, Google.
Oh, wow. The first result, once you get to the Moomba homepage, is people on a roller coaster or like a theme park ride.
Yeah.
Which I did not expect that to be part of it. That's interesting, though. Obviously, carnival rides are part of it. Oh, yeah, this is the Moomba Carnival. Okay.
Yeah. So the very first event on Friday is the Streets Chill Out Zone, which is a clever play on words there, given this, that we all know that Streets is a brand of ice cream. Dollar Bin Darlings, get funky with those with these disco lovers at the DJ stage. There's a water ski show, so Stephen Taylor will be across there, of course.
He's got a jet ski, not water ski.
Oh, they're different, are they? Oh, of course they are different, yeah.
yeah, quite different.
If you need a break from Box Walls on Saturday, go to Dr. Hubble Bubble Show. Dr. Hubble's Bubble Show. Dr. Hubble's Bubble Show. the water skis are back. There's a crumping workshop if anyone learned how to crump. There's a lot of things going on Saturday.
There's some really weird stuff mixed into this as well, like
silent disco tours.
The pro women's wakeboard semifinals, just casually in the middle there.
The pro men's wakeboard semifinals are on Sunday as well. There's one called Light Pickers, whatever you want to call that. Yep. The Smooth FM Lounge. Is Boxwalls back on? Yeah, Boxwalls is back on Sunday. Very good. Tiptoe Giants. The description is great. Get Tiny Tots dancing along with this indie kindy band.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Very, very clever. Monday as well. It's on Monday as well. That's weird.
Maybe it's a public holiday. Yeah, maybe it's a holiday weekend of some sort.
The wakeboard finals are on Monday on the river. There we go. And the movie, to close out the festival, a movie on Monday night, on the 9th of March, is the well-known children's classic Shrek, which I enjoy.
Have a look at what's on at 8 p.m. on Sunday night.
8 p.m. Sunday night. Yep. I see.
Do you feel lied to? I feel distinctly lied to.
I feel lied to because clearly the time is 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., but the name of the event, Kids at Midnight, does not line up with the time. Yeah, fuck. Those kids, it's not midnight. They're lying to all those children. It's like when they do the fucking New Year's countdown at 9 p.m. on 31st of December. It's like, no, it's not the fucking New Year. Like, we've arbitrarily chosen a time to do this anyway. Well, we may as well stick to that time, because if we don't, then what's the fucking point? If we're just going to choose a different time 3 hours off, what's the fucking point? Fuck you, kids, at midnight. You can get fucked. Should be at midnight. Fuck's sake, Dave.
I reckon that Monday at 11 a.m. is the thing you want to be at.
What, the mini ramp skateboarding clinic?
Not specifically that. Try the next one.
Design a float. Your float design could end up in 2021's Moomba Parade.
Absolutely. Imagine the crap people are coming up with at 11 a.m. on a Monday morning.
Jeez. After 2 days of Moomba.
To put into the parade the next time. After 4 days. It's on the fourth day, Patrick.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Wow.
Moomba's a weird festival.
Is it?
Well, it certainly seems it. It seems like a strange time.
A whole bunch of shit that they put together that doesn't actually make sense to go together, but it does.
Yeah, like I suspect it certainly looks like if you've got kids, probably a good day to at least one of these days get down and check it out. But also if you like wakeboarding or water skiing or skateboarding or basketball or dancing, probably also worth getting down for. And, you know, just a few bands. I think it's a little bit like the summer series you get in Wellington with the bands, you know?
Yeah.
Where down the Botanic Gardens, you know, it's 2 or 3 weeks. They have bands down there every night, and it's fantastic.
I think it's a cross between that and Cuba Dupa.
And it's cool. Like, it's weird, but it's cool. There's going to be a lot of shit that is not to everyone's taste, and, you know, a few things that are. And
I'm reading previous Moomba Monarchs on the website now, And literally, I go down the list and I don't know another one until 2015 when Shane Warne was a Moomba King.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about him before.
I've gone down two more and I get to Harry Kuehl and Natalie Bassingthwaite. The Community and Emergency Services were the King and Queen one year, which I don't understand. And they switched to just having one monarch, Kathy Freeman. I recognize that name.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally don't recognize any other names. That's it. That is it. Oh, in Molly Meldrum. Molly Meldrum. You know Molly Meldrum?
No, I have no idea who that is.
I know him off the old Celebrity Millionaire with Eddie McGuire. I had a weird moment. I had a weird moment here. We're making decisions and I said, lock it in, Eddie. And everyone looked at me very strangely, except for the one Australian in the room who was like, yes, yes, Eddie, lock it in, Eddie. Because, of course, over here, lock it in, Chris. But that's just nowhere near as enjoyable to say as lock it in, Eddie.
Do people still use the expression?
Apparently I do. I'm not sure.
I'm just intrigued as to whether that's a thing that's caught on across different hosts or if that's really just a Eddie McGuire thing that made his own.
On the TV show, lock it in Chris is the saying. They say lock it in Chris. But people don't really say it outside of that, or at least 10 years after the program, they don't say it anymore. But certainly lock it in Eddie is a common thing that we say at home. And I had a very strange moment of people thinking I'm weird as fuck, except for the one Australian. She was like, yes, why nobody else says this, but you do. So lock it in, Eddie.
I mean, it's weird the things you're managing to bond over. But this does bring me to the other thing I want to talk about, because I don't want to spend all our time talking about Moomba, because Moomba's weird.
We've done half the podcast, so we can move on.
I want to talk about a 2017 film titled Lost in London.
Yes. We're just going through the Twitter feed, aren't we? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I don't know the conversation we had.
This is amazing to me.
I don't know the conversation we had that brought this out. I don't remember this conversation whatsoever. Oh, shit.
Well, we kind of were talking.
Just dropped a book.
We were talking about how watching a film is a bit different to watching a football game.
Yeah.
Because obviously a football game doesn't have a script. It's all just kind of occurring live. And you, or maybe it was me, flippantly suggested that maybe a live film might even the odds up.
I tried to put the book back on the shelf and I dropped the other books.
Yeah, don't worry. We could definitely hear it dropping a few times. It's fine.
Okay.
No one's missed that.
No one's noticed. Good.
But no, the idea that maybe a live film would somehow be more equal came up. Because obviously then you would be not having such good, you know, plot development and a script to be working towards. And it turns out that, in fact, a live film was recorded and released in 2017. And it stars some quite big names.
Well, it was...
It sounds like it wasn't complete shit.
It was conceived, directed, and acted in by well-known film actor Woody Harrelson.
I mean, he doesn't say he conceived it, does he?
Yeah.
Does he?
Have you not read the backstory? He was, back in 2010, he was having beers with a friend or something like that, and he came up with this idea of doing a film live with his friend, and that's how it happened.
I mean, none of that information is on this Wikipedia page.
Oh,
and I haven't gone much deeper.
You're not digging deep enough, Dave. I've gone...
No, clearly.
I've gone hard.
Clearly. I've tried not to, because I'm 100% watching this tomorrow. That's my plan. I want to talk about it first.
Yeah.
And I am expecting it to be shit. That's what I'm thinking is going to be the case. I think this, despite the saying it wasn't complete shit, I think it's going to be shit.
I mean, the fact that the description on this review I've got is the film follows Harrelson in a comic restaging of a night in 2002 when he ran amok in London and was arrested on suspicion of causing criminal damage. Which can only be good if that's the premise. I mean, everything I've seen about this, I'm gonna watch it too. So I don't want to spoil anything, but everything I'm reading about this means that it's gonna be amazing. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It's a really ambitious project considering what they're trying to do here. So it it was shot and screened live in a number of theaters, right? So it was broadcast
January 19.
Yep, broadcast live into those theaters.
Yep.
But they have, where are we? Oh no, I've lost it. Fuck.
What do you want to know? I know a lot about this movie. What do you want to know?
Okay, so it was, oh no, I've completely lost the paragraph I was reading. How many filming locations there were? It definitely said that. Just
14 locations, two black cabs, one police vehicle, and a VW camper van festooned with fairy lights. There you go. That's the answer.
Yep. Over 30 actors.
Yep.
It includes car and foot chase scenes.
Yep. Yep.
And all of this is done live. How are you doing a live car chase?
It's amazing,
and
right?
And then getting these actors into the next scene. It's just phenomenal.
It's amazing.
There must have been some serious issues with doing that.
The audience at the Picture House Central on Piccadilly Circus, which is where I go to watch my movies in London, just a weird little name drop there, had the extra thrill of knowing that what they were watching was happening right outside of that very moment on the streets and sets only minutes from the cinema.
Why wouldn't you just go and watch it?
That's my point. Just go outside and just walk along. Like, clearly you can run along with this thing because, like, they're doing it in real time. Like, just, hop on an e-scooter, jump around, follow right around London. You'll be in the back of all the shots on your little e-scoot. It would be great. Yeah. Or was it
too? I'd like to either they really slimmed down a lot of this in order to make it plausible. Like, when they say car chase scene,
so they just went for a ride. They put a camera on one car.
They drove around the same exact block twice and there was, you know, no other cars or something. Or this must have gone horrendously wrong.
Well, like, it says on it that that it came off with barely a hitch was a credit to a tightly drilled crew, including the dexterous camera operator John Hemberg and the cinematographer Nigel Willoughby. So apparently it went well. Like, it went well.
Yeah.
Good.
How?
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's interesting, and I'm definitely going to be giving it a watch. It can't be that deep on story or quality acting or any of that, I don't think. There's quite a list of reasonable names who appear in it, but I just think in order to actually have executed this properly, you can't have been focusing on anything other than, like, tight choreography. You can't have been getting the, you know, the lines perfect and conveying the right emotions and that, because all of that sort of stuff takes more than one take. It just does.
No, it doesn't. Have you never been to the theater, Dave?
And how much are they practicing, and does it change night to night? Absolutely.
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
How much are they practicing? Yes.
Yeah, whereas this is quite a different situation. Car chases, you know. I just can't imagine it. But anyway, so Woody Harrelson's in it. Owen Wilson. Willie Nelson.
Yeah. All the big names.
Bono, obviously. just as himself, well, as a voice.
If you're there at 2 a.m. in London, of course you're going to come across Bono. Like, that's just standard practice.
And interestingly, all of these people are starring as themselves, which is weird. Daniel Radcliffe's also there as himself.
It's based on that night out in 2002, so he would have come across other celebrities. It's just, they're all playing themselves. It's a good time. I imagine it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Yep, good. I'm glad we're both going to be doing that tomorrow.
Yeah.
The review I have here says, a daft idea, the kind of mad experimental challenge dreamed up by stoned film nerds after a Hitchcock all-nighter. Good. I like it.
That makes sense, yeah. I think this is going to be a cinematic experience up there only with the lights of Cats. Strange people running across the streets of London at nighttime. It's the same plot, isn't it? Exactly the same plot.
Why are we going to watch fucking Cats? You've really brought me down with bringing that up again.
No, we're going to watch Lost.
I've been ignoring that for my life, and it's been really good.
Lost in London. I got lost in London the other day.
Didn't know where I was. Where'd you get lost?
I thought I was coming into Chinatown, and I was just nowhere near it. So I just walk in the wrong direction. Usually can keep my bearings pretty well because there's a very clear north and south because of the river. And the most streets go perpendicular or parallel to the river. So you can be like, oh, yeah, it's that way, so this way is west. I had completely the wrong direction of the river, thought it was going the right way, got lost, used Google Maps, was unlost. Maybe that's what this movie needed. Maybe that's what Woody Harrelson needed in 2002 was Google Maps. Then he would not have got lost in London. He would have known exactly where he was and could have found his way back to the rendezvous point.
I mean, why would he have a rendezvous point? That doesn't feel like Woody
fucking Harrelson. Of course, I'm thinking Liam Neeson. Shit.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah, that's a very, very different person.
But Liam Neeson would have a rendezvous point. Woody Harrelson, not so much.
Probably.
Yeah.
So did you write any sort of list beyond beyond the Twitter feed?
No.
Good.
No. I was actually watching the end of Archie while we started the call today. Had it open on my second screen. Just Archie was talking away on mute. Fuck you, Archie. Fuck you. You're not the king anymore.
I mean, are you really watching Archie if he's muted?
Former monarch Archie. I was watching him. I was staring deep into his eyes of his, watching him try and... He kept diverting his eyes away from me. He was looking into my eyes and then he went, oh, no, I'm going to look at this guy. And then he came back to look at me again and then he was like, shifty eyes. He's like, oh, I feel a bit uncomfortable now. But I was just staring straight down the barrel of that camera, looking in deep into his eyes. And he found it uncomfortable today. He found it uncomfortable, I tell you, Dave. So I was definitely watching him.
Is it because you referred to it as Paddy Barnes fuck FaceTime?
Paddy Barnes fuck FaceTime. Fuck FaceTime. With Paddy Barnes. Paddy Barnes, fuck this time.
Because everything about that is just horrendous. I'm glad some people brought that up on Twitter.
I don't like it. I honestly forgot what PBFFT might stand for. I had no idea. And then I got reminded and I was like, oh, that's not good. That's not good.
Well, my favorite bit about that is not specifically that. It's, have you seen about, the other Paddy Barnes?
No. The other Paddy Barnes?
So this is within the last 24 hours, if you go look at your tweets.
Haven't been on the tweets.
No, so it's that same exact thread, which is obviously one of the listeners laughing about Paddy Barnes' fuck-faced time.
Yeah.
Which is obviously quite funny. But then someone liked the tweet. Who is called Paddy Barnes.
Yeah.
Now, I find this particularly interesting because at no point does anyone say Paddy Barnes in this tweet. Anywhere.
True.
It just says PBFFT.
Good.
Doesn't say Paddy, doesn't say Barnes, just has those letters. So either this person follows you because your name is Paddy Barnes.
Yeah.
Which is plausible, I guess. Or somehow they're already following those letters because there's something about them. Apparently, the other Paddy Barnes is a two-time Olympic bronze medalist.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, he's definitely more famous than you. He's even got a verified Twitter account and his avatar, like, background image is just the letters PB.
Yeah. He's got a brand. He's got a brand.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's a sports person seeking endorsements, I'm sure.
I mean, I am also a sports person seeking endorsements, but do you see me putting my initials on my Twitter feed looking for the sweet, sweet cash? No, you don't, because I have standards.
and then there's the very slim possibility, maybe he's a listener.
Oh, shit.
Because either he's following you, which I think you would have noticed if someone else named Paddy Barnes.
He's not following me. So, I just checked it.
So is he just keeping an eye out for the letters PBFFT? Like,
he is.
How?
He's a 2-time Olympic bronze medalist.
I said that already. Jeez, listen
to me,
listening.
Patrick. I was looking at his Twitter feed.
Fuck.
His Instagram, yeah. I know, so I had to remind the listeners to lead into his Instagram account, which is... Paddy _ bronze. Not Barnes. Bronze. Paddy Bronze. Which, if I was a 2-time Olympic bronze medalist, I'd do that too. You know what? You know what? I'm going to change my name on Twitter right now to Petty Bronze. Petty Bronze Party Time.
I think you need to tag him in. I think you and the other Petty Barnes, the better Barnes, if you will, need to be friends.
I reckon,
why not?
I reckon he's got to search for his own name. And when I typed in, because my name on Twitter was Petty Barnes. Yeah. Petty Barnes.
But he's still come across this conversation, which is a very weird conversation to have come across. I don't know. The whole thing is very bizarre. But I like it. I like that there's a much more famous Petty Barnes who's now somehow engaged with this shit. And it's around fuckface time.
There we go. There we go. Tweet is out and tagged in. Paddy B underscore Ireland. Drop that a like, Dave, so I know you've seen it.
good. I'm going to just... Yep. All right. That's done.
Yeah, you've dropped a little... There we go. So, you've given a retweet from the official account too. Nobody's gonna understand that as we record.
No.
Oh, what? Paddy Bronze. Part of time. Part of time with Paddy Bronze. Paddy Bronze, part of time.
I mean, if he in any way endorses this podcast, we certainly pick up a large new audience.
I would like to think that Paddy Bronze's followers who follow, I think, is he a weightlifter? Is that what it is? That's the impression I get from him.
what gives you that impression? Have you done some light stalking of him already?
I'm just looking through his Twitter feed. He's got some boxing. Maybe he's a boxer. Yeah, I think he's a boxer.
Yeah, he appears to be a boxer.
Yeah. There he is. There he is with no shirt on. No, that's Alfredo May. Here we go. Belfast boxers Carl Framdham and Paddy Barnes on a mission to... Oh, shit, open the article. I can't. To inspire young prisoners to change path. Well, what a good guy. Here we go. Let's get a quote.
I've got his Wikipedia page here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he's definitely a boxer.
Yeah.
He competed at the 2016 Olympics and...
2016 Olympics.
That was the last ones he was at.
Yep.
He was also at the 2008 and 2012.
Yeah, but he did not win. Did not win.
His nickname is the Leprechaun.
Is that because he's from Ireland? Maybe.
He's from Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Shit. Okay.
He won gold at the 2010 and 2014 Commonwealth Games.
Oh, wow.
And he also competed in some professional boxing after he went pro after the 2016 Olympics.
Oh, of course, because it's only amateur boxing at the Olympics, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So his professional career is 9 fights, 6 wins, yep. 3 losses.
Yep, that makes sense. That makes sense. He's got my jeans in him. My fighty jeans, my fight jeans.
Your fight. You're a shambles. He's a genuine boxer. You know,
wow.
Does quite well.
Wow.
Paddy Bronze.
Paddy Bronze.
I guess that's why he was willing to commit to that, because once he turned pro, it's not like he was suddenly going to be able to go back and win a gold.
No, exactly.
He knew that bronze is what he was getting, and.
I enjoy that his Twitter profile leads with ex worldwide superstar, which implies that at one point he was, but also I think he knows that he never was.
He's already replied to you, for fuck's sake.
Has he?
Oh.
He's replied with love it and the thumbs up emoji, and then replied again and said, that's my Instagram name, laughing emoji, love it, thumbs up emoji.
Oh, that's phenomenal stuff.
What a legend.
That's within like a minute of you posting.
Yeah.
And he's liked it too, has he?
Yeah, he's given it a wee like.
That's going to be right up there with the most followed accounts that have genuinely interacted with you.
He's got 108k followers. Oh my god! I'm starstruck. I don't know what to say to him.
You didn't even know who he was.
No idea.
Oh. That's very weird.
I don't think I reply. I can't talk to him. I can't. It's like when you meet your heroes, Dave. I don't want to.
I think what you got to do for now is just drop him a like and then engage again on a different topic. See if you can build that friendship up across a couple of threads.
So I've yeah. Tweet something else.
I mean, 100%. 100% when you release this episode, you're tagging him in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, that's pretty weird. Man, we do some dumb shit with this podcast.
I think you'll find that I have interacted with an ex-worldwide superstar in the last 5 minutes.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. And that's fantastic. Now you're losing it. What? You lost it. Good.
Oh, man. I think this is the high. This is the high point of this podcast. Forget.
I mean, just on the off chance that he listens, I'd just like to really give a shout out to the true Paddy Barnes. He earned his two gold medals and his two bronze medals.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that's just a fantastic effort and definitely more worthy of any sort of praise than anything we do on this fucking podcast, because what a shambles this is.
Do you think, because he's said, that's my Instagram name, do you think he doesn't realize that I know?
I don't know.
Do you think that I've just decided on Paddy Barnes and just weirdly dropped a like, dropped his name and a mention? I don't. Because he specifically pointed out, that's my Instagram name. I can't go back and be like, oh, yeah, I know, I stole it. But also, why would I call myself Paddy Barnes if it wasn't your Instagram name, Paddy Barnes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's do a search. I'm going to look for other Paddy Barneses now. Paddy.
Okay, good.
Paddy Barnes. Here we go. I'm just seeing tweets from. No, it's actually just Paddy Barnes. Well, here we go. Unreal. Paddy Barnes is a legend. It's oh shit. Oh, it's him fighting. It's a video of him fighting. And I'd like you to take a guess about who he's fighting. Given the caption is Paddy Barnes is a legend. Watching this video is a great start to the day. Who do you think he's fighting? Another caption: Paddy Barnes, one of the good guys.
Is it someone I'm actually going to know?
No.
Oh, then fuck! I don't know. He's fighting Piers Morgan. And he knocks him out.
The same mental age as Piers Morgan.
A child.
He's fighting a 3-year-old.
What?
I'm watching the fight now. Here we go. Oh, he's got shit. Oh, he's getting punched in the head. He's punching him in the head. Oh, fuck. Oh, no. Oh, he's down. Paddy Barnes down. He's been knocked out by the 3-year-old.
I really do not understand what's happening on your screen.
It's a 3-year-old with a heart defect. He's got like one of the Make-A-Wish things and he's fighting Paddy Barnes.
Okay.
It's just a fair bit of. Yeah, that's what's going on, Dave.
Okay.
But it's more funny when it's more vague about it. When I was vague about it, it sounded like something funny was going on, but actually it's just a 3-year-old getting an opportunity of a lifetime. Paddy Barnes is a legend. I mean, not my words. Not my words, Dave. Paddy Barnes is a legend.
Well, I don't think anyone willing to help out with Make-A-Wish probably is a legend. Yeah. So, you know.
But now that I've said Paddy Barnes is a legend, I'm going to put that quote up on my wall that says, Paddy Barnes is a legend. Patrick Barnes, 2020, is the one who said that quote.
Absolutely. Well done.
What a legend. What a legend. A man and a myth. It's me.
Well, that is certainly a weird rabbit hole I didn't expect to be going down. That would lead to another Patrick Barnes messaging you during this record. That's good.
What a time, Dave. That's the kind of content that this podcast delivers you. It's the only place to get glorious content like that. It's a lot of content, not a lot of. You have to get your mouth around that way. That's probably the podcast for this week, I'm guessing, because we're not going to.
Yeah, I think so.
We're not going to beat that, are we?
No, that's a real high. Yeah. Unless you're going to get any other people sliding into your DMs.
Nick Meredith.
Nothing from Foth lately?
Nothing from Meredith lately. I think I've passed him in terms of people messaging me on Twitter now. He's no longer the high point, thank God. I now have Paddy Barnes.
Olympic champion.
Not
Olympic champion.
No.
Commonwealth champion.
Worldwide superstar, Olympic champion, Commonwealth champion. The legend that is Paddy Barnes.
I will give him worldwide superstar. I will give him legend. I will give him Commonwealth champion. But he came third at the Olympics.
Champion of bronze medals. Champion of the bronze medals.
Yeah. Champion of the bronze medal fight.
Paddy Barnes.
Fantastic effort, Paddy Barnes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He lost a fight, didn't he? Twice. That's everything. Goodbye, everybody. Have a lovely afternoon. Bye.
Bye. Rollinson have been hit for six. Hey!